God's goodness, strongholds and beliefs of the gifts of the Spirit, we see a smattering, but we're asking for an outpouring or a stronghold that's steady, that's there. And I believe that part of that is the apostolic. Now, I'm the first to admit I don't understand the apostolic. But a few years ago, 2 years ago, the Lord, I felt like part of my 2017 was to learn more about the apostolic. So I'm a learner. I went and bought 3 books, read them. I was like, okay, I get a little bit more. And then I got introduced to an apostolic guy, Clay Nash, and then Jim was there, and I met Jim, and so I know, this is what I do know, is that we can trust God's ways, and we don't have to understand God's ways. We can trust God's ways, even though we can't see how they always work, but they always do work out better than our own ways, because we don't want that form of godliness without the power and the presence of God there. And so that's what I know about the apostolic. And what I know about Jim is that he's not only apostolic, but he's a man that can be trusted in a season where there's few men who can be trusted. So you just give Jim a welcome as he comes up here.
You're welcome. Well, praise the Lord. Hey, how many are still in that moment? I'm still in that atmosphere. Come on, let's give him another good shout. Let's give him hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you today. Come on, that's not enough. You can do some more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Man, I don't want to get ever accustomed to that atmosphere. How about you? Amen, amen. You know, we go through things just like, well, you know, that'll be this way next week. It'll happen just this way again. Well, hey, man, we need to wake up. Amen. We need to wake up and smell the anointing. Let the anointing rub on you. Amen. I mean, letting the anointing rub. Coffee's got an anointing too, I admit, but... But praise God. I am thankful for Brother Les. I tell you, I really appreciate his heart. He's put up with me a while now. And then we haven't even got to meet together for a while, which is my fault, not his. And so we're gonna do something about that as well. As soon as I get back from Arkansas, that is. I gotta go to Arkansas this week. You know, Arkansas is in the Bible, y'all know that. Noah looked out the Arkansas. Ah, ha, ha. Woo, come on, Apostle Connie from Little Rock. Y'all meet our friends, Connie. What'd I say? Yeah, Connie Strickland. I knew that. Karen McGlory. And Paul. I know you, Paula. Paula Sparks. I know you better than those two, I guess. They're like an apostolic company, and they're great friends of mine and great. They're like, I'm glad I got an amen corner here today. Amen. And so welcome them here. Of course, who else is here? Oh, Brother Al there. Oh, y'all haven't met Brother Al Griffin. He's from the kind of southwest side. Is that what? Southwest side of Houston. So how many will welcome him over here on the north side, northwest side? He's an apostolic prophet, and all these women are apostolic, prophetic. Robert, y'all know, y'all have met Robert and Julie Popham, and glad to have their son Cody and his wife Becca and their beautiful children. Is that a boy and a girl, right? Cody, good to see you again, and bless y'all. So good to see everybody else. Judy, good to see you. And we're just really thankful to be here. I feel like there's something the Lord, I really believe I want you to not just wait for a particular point in the message. I don't even like to use the word sermon anymore, so, you know, anybody can sermonize a little bit, but how many want God to do something through you that you can communicate yourself, you can participate in what God is saying? And so please open up your heart and do that. Don't wait for the next point. Teresa, you know, Pam sends her love today. My little darling's not with me again today, but thank you for your prayers for her. She is doing better and going to do better. Amen. And I received that healing for her today when we sung that song. I think it became a physical manifestation right there where she is. Amen. I love that. I believe. Amen. I believe. How many believe today? Nothing is impossible with him. Amen. Nothing is impossible with him. And I just want to thank the journey for your hold. I like that word. You know, like you say, stronghold a lot of times has a negative connotation. But remember that when David went up, took Zion, he was called the stronghold of Zion, the stronghold of David. He took that place, a fortress, you might say. And Zion became the ruling place, amen, for the kingdom of God to go forth at that time through that administration. So we're here, I believe, that you are called to set a beachhead, a stronghold, others in Tomball. I love the activity that's going on in Tomball right now. I believe it's a spiritual operation that's going on here, especially here in this part of the region here. So I really believe with that in mind, the Lord is going to speak to us about that today. Can I this thing raise a little bit? No, okay, well, I got it. Don't worry, it's good. I can read it here. It's good. So with that in mind, let's just jump into some things. We'll pray in just a minute. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. My text has already changed 3 or 4 times since I've been here. Well, not really, but a little bit. But when Pastor Les kind of released me loose, that seemed to do something even more. But I was saying, though, I think I didn't finish that. I really appreciate you guys and appreciate the holding forth that you're doing. And we're not just hanging on anymore. We're holding forth. Amen. Scripture says, hold forth to the word of life. Brother Herman, I see you still holding forth with the word of life. Amen. Still speaking the word of deliverance, the word of the Lord. And we must continue to do that. Not just the prophets, not just the apostles. Amen. But we are a prophetic community, right? We are an apostolic people. So we have that apostolic spirit of Jesus Christ on us to be able to release things that he's already done. How many know that he has finished his work? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's commissioned us and given us authority, right, to do the works that he did and greater. Hey, somebody say, and greater. Yeah, so let's keep contending. I like that word, too. I love that word, contending. Let's keep contending. Jude said that. Let's contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. Amen. And we need more than a revival today. We need a real restoration and a real reformation of what God has started and begun, that he will complete that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read a little scripture. 1 Corinthians 1, starting with verse 4 down through about verse 9. And then we're going to release. I love my the Lord gave me a long time ago about Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, that apostolic prayer of Paul. We'll release that in just a minute. Verse 4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Look at verse 7. So that you come short, come behind in no gift. Wow, how many like that? That you don't come behind or you don't come short in any gift, eagerly awaiting for the revelation or the manifestation or the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also, now this is going to be important to what I have for you today, who also will confirm you to the end. Somebody say to the end. That you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then love verse 9. God is faithful. How many will say that with me? God is faithful. Can you say it one more time? God is faithful. By whom you were called, literally through whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. How many received Jesus Christ our Lord today? Is he more than Savior to you? Is he more than Savior? Is he more than healer? Is he more than baptizer? But he's Lord, isn't he? I mean, he's master. He owns it all. So stretch your hand and agree with me. Father, I thank you that according to the prayer of Paul in Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto every one of you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, Christ, so that the eyes of our understanding, literally the eyes of our heart, will be opened, illuminated. It will be enlightened so that we may know what is the hope of your calling, what are the riches of the glory of the power of the inheritance of the Lord in our lives. So, Father, I just touch and agree with everyone today and believe, Father, that you're going to open the spiritual understanding of our heart to receive this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The other day when I was praying for the meeting, or I think it was the other night, somewhere during the night, I felt the Lord began to put an emphasis on this. This was more than just another Sunday morning service. This was more than just another meeting, but that this was a benchmark, that this would be a benchmark moment. And this would be a time of some things being set in 2019. Because how many know, although we always like a new year, you know, we always think, okay, we got a word for the new year, and every year God's going to do this and God's going to do that. But how many really believe that this year there seems to be a tangible change? There seems to be a tangible presence that's more than what we have even sensed in the past. And I believe it's because we stepped into a new administration. We stepped into a new era of God's grace and purpose for us. So with that in mind, I want to talk about, and really it did, Les, I knew the name of the church was The Journey, but it didn't really figure in at that time. I heard the joy, not just of the journey, but in the journey. The joy in and of the journey, which I was referring to. Then of course, it dawned on me where we were going to be. The journey. How many know we're on a journey, right? And we're going to move then. I've been in transition so long, I think my transmission is transitioning. It's like, Lord, anybody relate to that? I've been in transition so long, Apostle Connie, that I think, whoa, Lord, you know, what's going on here? And this year I heard that, though, we're moving from, I'm talking about a corporate thing now, not just individually, a corporate thing of a transition that the body of Christ has been in to a transformation. Trans, from above. Trans means from above. Formation, or the forming of Christ in us. Not an external thing. Not. How many of you know there is a conforming to that, that is an external thing, but primarily it's internal. It's what, like Paul prayed for the Galatians, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ be formed in you. He was already born in them. How many already born again today? So now what do we need? We need our born again process to really accelerate into a place that we continue to grow and don't get stalemated in where we have been. How many don't want to stay the same any longer? I don't want 2019 just to be another year that I just say, oh, well, okay, you know, we made it through another year now. Boy, we can really have some good slogans for 2020, can't we? Woo! I got perfect vision in 2020. 2020 vision. Amen. There'd be all kind of good things come out with that, won't they? But let's go ahead and get into that. Let's go ahead and step into that, because we know that God is eternal and not limited to our time and space. So He's already called us into that place. He's already called us into a spiritual rest. He's already called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. He's already manifesting the kingdom. We sung about it today. He's already manifesting the kingdom in us now. Don't you love that? That the realm of the kingdom is manifesting right now. Thank God it's always coming. So that's why we can always pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. Okay. Every day we should kingdom come in my life today. Will of God be done in my life today. And the kingdom is always coming. How many know it's always at hand? Jesus said the kingdom of God is what? At hand. It's in your grasp. It's right here with you. So if He's inside of you, Him being the King of the kingdom, He has already released to us the keys of the kingdom to bring us into this place. But as I was praying about this, and I began to go back, in fact, this passage just really came to me even today, although this is one of my favorite. I'm going to touch a few verses in chapter 1, 2, and 3, and just to lay the foundation, and it won't take long, don't worry, we're not going to preach from generations to revolutions, but it won't take long. Because I think we need just to, one more time, will you agree with me that the sound of the Lord will go forth today in the region right now? The sound of the Lord will just continue to shake up the darkness. Shake the darkness. Let the walls fall down that's been containing and holding the people of God, been keeping them from their possession. Lord, I pray right now that Lord, you will speak and release this sound. The voice of the Lord will be like many waters out here among the people today, that they'll be more than stirred, but Lord, they'll be changed. we'll be more than just visibly shaken for a moment, but Lord, we'll come into that moment of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. My, there's quite a presence of the Lord here. Can you acknowledge him one more time? Thank you, Lord. Acknowledge him for his presence. Thank you, Father. I don't want to ever take that for granted, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Your presence, Lord, is really all we need today. Because we acknowledge you that you are here. Paul said, I want to thank you, Father, for this grace that you've given me, and I give it to them, to the church at Corinth, and that he began to exhort them and tell them, you know, you've been enriched in everything by him in utterance. He's been speaking to you. You have knowledge. He said, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. And that's always good to know, and that's what we should be seeing. A confirmation in our life through the word of the Lord. It's all right to get a prophetic word, but we should be getting confirmation every day in his word of our testimony. Our testimony, Apostle Karen, ought to be flowing every day, rising up within us every day, so that we won't come behind in any gift, so that we won't just get a word on Sunday morning, but that we'll have that tangible word working in us at all times, whether it's at Walmart, whether it's at the business place, wherever it's at, that God is always opening our eyes. And so we're always waiting for, or we're really holding forth, or we're really expecting the manifestation of Jesus Christ. We're expecting the presence of Jesus Christ. So then back down to these two, verse 4, we leave this chapter, verse 8 again, who will also confirm you to the end. Now that end is not just talking about the end of time or the end of the church, but he was saying, I want to confirm you that what you're going through, what you're experiencing, is just simply a transition, that I'm bringing you to the end of a transition. Or what is a transition? What does transition mean? It means you're changing and moving from one dimension to another, one place to another. You're in a kind of maybe a crossover. You're in a place of change. You're in a place of like moving from glory to glory. There's a transition going on. He said, and that thing that you're going through, he said, is going to come to an end so that you can stand blameless before the Lord. In other words, not that you won't ever make mistake, or not that we won't ever have any situations to go through, but he sees us. How many know right now, according to Ephesians 1, he sees us as holy and blameless in him, because he sees us in that finished work of Christ. He sees us in the position that he placed us in. And then, of course, we know that that's a walking out process. That's something we must continue to walk out. It doesn't mean that we just throw everything to the wind and say, okay, God, I'll just do whatever I want to do. No, the more that I know him, and the more that I'm conformed to his image, the more I want to be changed into his image, right? The more I want to be conformed to his image and to his will. So that he can then bring us into a place so that we understand that even with all our giftings and even with everything he's given us, and we know the Corinthian church was very gifted in all their manifestations, but yet they were many times acting like children. Reminds me of a lot of today's stuff going on, you know. There's a lot of things going on, but not a whole lot of maturity. Not a whole lot of people you can trust in the spirit realm to say, okay, well, is that really the Lord, you know? But God is bringing us up to standard. He's bringing us up. He's raising the bar. And as he raises the bar, that means everybody's going to be raised up. That means everybody's going to come into a new understanding. How many would like to come into a new place this year that you have a sharper edge? You have a sharper thought. It's something the Lord, iron sharpens iron, right? And so the Lord keeps doing that. So he brings us into a place that then we can have true fellowship. In other words, we can have true intimacy. We can have true sharing. We can have true partnership in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what I believe he wants to strengthen in this house, especially today. He knows that he doesn't want anyone to come short in anything, but it's so he can bring us to this place that when you come through your transition, which I believe a transitional change is happening in the journey this year. Unless we haven't talked any time lately, I believe this season that we're in, this year that we're in, is marking. In fact, you've been in it. It's been happening for a couple of years, you know. But as you step into this year, it's marking the end of that old It's marking the place of where you have been so that you can come into the new thing. You can come into it. That means I'm not talking about something that God hasn't even seen. I'm talking about a new and a fresh thing. A new and a fresh thing from God. Something that God energizes in you. Something that He just begins to quicken you with, make you alive, so that when you step into that place, you're not going to be unaware. You're not going to be not accustomed to. How many know if you step into something that you're not accustomed to or you don't have any pre-thought to, sometimes it throws us off. God has been conditioning you to come into this new place. He's been preparing you through all the stuff that you're going through. And so that kind of brings me to the next passage that he gave me. In fact, I'm just going to skip over 1 Corinthians 2 and 3. I'm going to go right to 1 Peter 1. This passage has really been burning in my heart for several days. In fact, 2 Peter 1 was one of my original things, but then it got shifted to 1 Peter 1. So I said, okay, Lord, well, you know, it's your word. Amen. It's your word. And so make it alive to us today. But I love this passage because I think it'll give us some, it'll give you some strength. And I believe Brother Les was saying hope. How many of you know we need hope? We don't just need wishful thinking. We need the hope, which is an earnest expectation of something that's going to happen. Amen. It's not about if it is, just when. Amen. Verse 3 of 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, or caused us to be born again to a living hope. There it is. Somebody say a living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. Somebody say kept. Yeah, that means your faith is guarded. Your hope is guarded through the power of God, through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I love that phrase there because it really has connotations that there is a full salvation. Now, we all know that to be born again is an instantaneous process, right? That happens. But salvation is not synonymous, one and the same thing with being born again. Salvation is where you began your born again walk, but you're just beginning. Amen. How many of you know a lot of people have gotten born again by faith in Jesus Christ, even received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then they throw up their hand, oh, well, that's all. I've got it now. I'm just waiting to go to heaven. You know, that's what we heard many years ago. You know, it's that thing, oh, boy, if I can just get this now, and I'm going to hold on till he comes. You know, well, the Bible doesn't say hold on till he comes. It says occupy till he comes. Amen. It means some do some business, do some warfare, take back some things, you know. So we were always, so salvation, you see, is a daily thing. Salvation is a complete thing. My spirit is saved, but yet my mind is being saved and my body shall be saved, right? It shall come into that full sanctification, glorification of everything that God is doing. But he says, though, listen to this, in this that you will greatly rejoice in this. Now, how many are not just, we say that, again, we say it easy, are you saved? But let me say it today, are you still saved? Now, I'm not talking about losing your salvation over every little thing, okay? Are you growing in your salvation? Paul, the writer of Hebrews said it like this, things that accompany salvation. Things that are past the six basic principles of the doctrine of Christ, and they're powerful things. You know, repentance from dead work, faith toward God, doctrine of baptisms, you know, laying on of hands, eternal resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. Those things are powerful things. But he said, you're just scratching the surface. Let's go on. Let's go on unto maturity. The word for perfection. Let's go on into maturity. Let's keep growing. Let's don't stay where we are. I love the slogan here at the Journey, moving people forward. How many want to? That's salvation. That's coming into full when you keep moving forward, because there's really no standing still with God. How many of you really know that? We think, well, I'm holding on, I'm just going to stand here. Well, no, God is always moving. So, you know, if you're not really moving with Him, you could be going this way. You know, because the ground is moving with you. So if you were where you were and the ground is moving forward what Christ is doing, then you're not exactly where you were. I want to keep moving with Him, right? So he says this in verse, then he says all that for this in verse 6. In this you will greatly rejoice. Now I heard the word joy, rejoicing as we sang this morning. That went with my word joy in the journey, of the journey, and I'll add for the journey. Amen. How many would like some extra joy for the journey? Amen. I want my joy to be renewed. I want joy to keep bubbling up. So he says it like this. Though now, for a little while, just a little season, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Hey, how many of you know anybody been going through anything in this last season? Yeah. But listen to this, verse 7. That the genuineness, I love that. King James said, I think, the trial of your faith. I love this. That the genuineness, how many of you know when you go through things, it brings you to a place that you can be genuine. How many of you know you're not just faking it till you make it? You know, that used to be a popular saying, you know, fake it till you make it, you know, or faith it till you make it. You know, I like that one better, of course. But not only that, here's what we should be doing. We should be growing into a place that everything we go through, he brings us to that place so that our faith becomes authentic, where that then we become genuine in our walk with God. It's not just something we're trying to put on. It's not just something we're trying to, you know, the old thing of going to church and all of a sudden you put on, before you walk in the door, you make sure you straighten up your tie. Oh, that's when we wore ties. That's right. You straighten up your collar and you put on your Sunday face. Put on your church face. How many glad we're not in those days anymore? I hope nobody here is in that day anymore. I mean, you know, I'm glad today you don't have to wear 3-piece suits. Amen. Brother, I kind of like that, you know. I got on my jeans. I didn't wear my new cowboy boots. I should have wore them. I started to, but my pant legs were too tight or something. So I didn't know if I could get them off. I ain't wore boots in a long time, Robert. Amen. That I wear them next time. I'll show you next time. But God wants to bring us to a place that we are genuine in our faith, meaning it's real, it's tangible. So that, look at the second part of verse 7, being much more precious than gold that perishes. Wow. Come on. Because we know gold is tried, isn't it? It's tried in the furnace 7 times to get even hotter, though it is tested by fire. Ah, anybody been tested by fire? I mean, no, we don't know much about this in our day, but there is a baptism of fire. Now, we used to think, Brother Al, it was when you got the Holy Ghost and you took off running. Oh, he's got the fire. Look at him. He's jumping over benches and running around. And I saw a few of them run into the wall. I saw a few of them take off from those high platforms we used to have back then and break a leg or two, you know. But hey, wait a minute. No, the baptism of fire is another dimension. You have to come into, of course, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But that's the Holy Spirit is the one then that brings you to that fire. And that fire, listen, fire is to purge us and to purify us and to bring us into a place like he's talking about here. Though it be tested by fire, now he's talking about the genuineness of your faith, may be found, listen, I love this, to praise, to honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What's another word there for revelation? Anybody got a different translation? Does it say presence or manifestation? Does it say anything different? Pretty much revelation? Okay. That's good enough, isn't it? At the revelation, now what's going to be found? Praise, honor, and glory. Now that's a threefold little thread there. When you enter into not just praising him, we all know we can praise him, but how many want to become his praise? See, we're used to, and I love the worship here, you know, you don't have to sing 3 fast songs to get in the spirit. You just go ahead and step into it. Thank you, my brother. I love you. I love that. You just step right in. The veil's already removed. You don't have to try to work through. Some people make it feel like, well, you know, you got to leave the week behind when you come in the door and it's going to take you about 30 minutes. No. We come in ready. We come in prepared to worship, right? We come in with our heart ready. So now he wants us to take us from praising him to becoming a praise. Jeremiah talked about that. He even talked about in the Old Testament that my people would become a praise and a glory. Well, that's used here. Praise, honor, and glory. Why and how? At the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 a while ago. There's coming an appearing or a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ that brings you into a fullness of the place that you can stand complete and whole right where you are. Here today in 2019, and man, if you just look at everything, you know, sometimes you got to turn off the news, you know, sometimes you got to turn off, used to be just CNN, now Fox too, you know, you got to turn off everything to where you don't get caught up in all that stuff. You don't get caught up in everything going on. You don't listen to all, because we don't realize it, but we had been the church as a whole, and I'm talking about the organizations really are should be the body of Christ. We call it the body of Christ, so I won't go back further than that. The church has had to be awakened because we've had 40, 50 years that we've allowed things to go on, that we've allowed darkness to overtake us, that we've allowed things to happen. I say allowed things. We permitted things because we just didn't. We went with the flow of what the world was. And the church never was supposed to go with the flow. We were supposed to be contending for the faith. We were supposed to be pressing in. We were not supposed to be waiting in the sweet by and by when everything gets better for us. We were supposed to be in the trenches. We were supposed to be digging deep. We were supposed to be laying the foundation of Jesus Christ. And that's what disturbs me, is the foundation of Jesus Christ is so weak in so many places. Where's the foundation? Well, if you're not built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, no wonder. No wonder. If we haven't gone back to the original pattern of the foundation of Jesus Christ, no wonder we don't have any more people able to stand strong. Stand forth. I'm not talking about just people. I'm talking about even a whole generation. We had a whole generation that we're having to recover right now. We're having to recapture even right now. That's why Isaiah 58:12 says, those that be of you shall rebuild the old waste places, shall raise up the foundations of many generations. We didn't just lose one generation. We're having to go back two or three spirits. I'm not talking about just an age. I'm talking about spiritual generations. Since the 40s and 50s, well, not just since the 70s and 80s, I'm talking about since the 40s and 50s, we've been in a recovery mode so that now he can bring about a full, complete restoration and salvation of fullness that brings us into and recovers all that's been lost. All that's been lost. These babies, your grandchildren, Robert, they're being set up for the best days ahead. Why? Because we're recovering the generation of Jesus Christ. We're recovering the fullness of the salvation that we walk through. Though we walk through seasons and times of testing and grieving through trials and all these things going on, he says, keep on, because the gold is not becoming dim. One of the minor prophets prophesied that, how sad it is when the gold becomes dim. We want the gold to become bright, shining, glorified, tested by fire. That's why that you ought to thank God for everything you've been through the last few years. You ought to realize that, hey, now shake that off now, because you're in a new season. You're in a new time. We're in a new, not just another new year. We're in a new administration of the Holy Spirit that's in the restoration of all things, the restoration of apostles and prophets with pastors and evangelists and teachers. But that's not enough either. That's not the glory in. That's not, now see, we got an abundance of apostles. Well, we probably don't have near as many as we think. You know? I doubt myself. I said, Lord, what? Well, I better go back. Let me just go back to serving. Let me go back picking up paper again. You know? Maybe I'll be more qualified. You know, because, hey, how many know it's not about that? It's not about your title. It's not even about what God has gifted you in. It's about what he's made you. Paul told Timothy, make full proof. Fulfill your ministry. In other words, so here Timothy, that young man, sent back to Ephesus as a young man. And Ephesus became one of the most mature churches in the New Testament. How many love the book of Ephesians? But he told him, do the work of an evangelist. He said, I'm not an evangelist. Well, do the work of it. You know, evangelize. Take on. So what do we need to do? The fivefold ministry should be fired if we're not pouring ourselves into a generation that are ready and are doing, even not just doing what we do, they're going to do greater things than we do even. Why? Because God is wanting now not just a glorified platform ministry. He is wanting now a glorified body. He's wanting one new man in the earth, one corporate man in the earth that has been birthed and raised up now and is growing up into the head. It's growing up into the fullness of Christ. It's growing up to a place now that you don't just see the superstars. You just don't see the ones anymore that stand out so much. I want to get to the day that nobody stands out except Jesus Christ in the midst of his people. He is the only one. When you look at a corporate people, when they see us, they ought to not see us, they ought to see him. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. If they're still seeing my gift, if they're still seeing my talent, if they're still seeing my anointing, then something is lost somewhere. If they're still seeing what we can do, if they're still seeing all, it hadn't changed the world yet, all our preaching ain't. Come on, right? All our tent crusades didn't save them, right? All our mass evangelism came into mass confusion, usually, because you got, I'm not going there. We must, got to stay on track here because I've only got 5 minutes, is that right? Oh, okay, thank you. Dinner holding, I pray. Turn the fires down low. Okay, so let me finish. All right. All right, come on, brother, crank up the fire. So that, here's why. So here's verse 8 then. Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing. Come on, say, yet believing. Just because you hadn't seen him in the flesh doesn't mean he's not there, right? So we know, just because somebody said, well, the head, Jesus in heaven now, and hey, don't think he's not flowing. Don't think he's got the body connected to himself. You know why? Because that's where our headquarters is. That's where we're supposed to be getting everything that he's speaking to us so that we can come into this place right here. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him yet believing, you rejoice with joy. Can I say joy? Joy inexpressible, unspeakable, and full of glory. Oh, wow. Isn't that a great place to come to in your walk with God now that you've come through the testing, now that you've come into the genuineness of your faith? Now you're not just looking for some goosebump thrill. Now you're not just looking for the next word that charisma puts out. Now you're not just looking for the next new thing that somebody is doing. Now we're not just getting caught up in the signs and wonders of a few. We're coming into a completeness in the body of Christ that, once again, that we not only become a praise. Remember I talked about that? But we become a sign and a wonder. We become. Didn't Jesus say that? Or in Hebrews it says that Jesus walks in the midst of the congregation. He's in the midst of the assembly of Christians. And it says, and for sign, my children are for signs and wonders. Come on. We are supposed to be the sign and wonder. We're not supposed to be chasing after signs. Oh God, show me a sign. Oh, Lord, y'all remember the old, what do they call those days? You put a fleece out, you know. I'm putting a fleece out. Well, you're not in the Old Testament. You're not living in the snow, at least not in Texas. I'm going to put my fleece out there. Hey, Deborah, how you doing? And see if, now if it snows tonight on my rug out there, I'm going to believe it. If it don't, I guess God didn't say it. Well, you can miss a lot of things that way, you know. We almost want to tempt God. We want to make God do something. That's what God used to let us do that a lot. He'll say, okay, all right, if you want this bad, I'll give it to you, but now you may not like everything afterward that comes with it. That's kind of like Israel. Remember them? They wanted a king. Yeah, give us a king. Samuel knew. He knew, oh boy, it grieved him. Wait a minute, you mean they don't want to be led by the Lord God anymore? They want to be like all of the other nations to have an earthly king, a physical king. They'll tell them what to do. That's kind of what we like. We like our preachers to tell us everything to do, when to get up, when to sit down, when to pray, when not. Yeah. Somebody will catch that drift later. You'll get that tomorrow night. God is bringing us to a place, see, that he's bringing us where it gets us down to verse 9. All right, let me read verse 8 again. That now you haven't seen him physically. He is appearing to a lot of people, yes. But spiritually, he's wanting us to, as we yet believe, to rejoice with joy unexpressible, unspeakable, and full of glory. How many are ready to step into that dimension right there? Well, here's what it will do then. Receiving, here's that word again, the end. Somebody say transition. The end of a transition. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Wow. What does that mean? Again, that's not talking about just going to heaven. Okay, let me explain it in my last few minutes. What that means, see, is that while we're on the transition, okay, while we're on the journey, somebody say the journey. We are finding joy in the journey. Because, you see, we get caught up in the destination. We think, listen, if you're walking with him and you complete the journey, the destination's complete. People say, oh, I just want to go to heaven. Well, wait a minute, okay. Well, then just keep walking with him because heaven's actually becoming a part of us. Heaven's in our heart, so that's preparing you for when we do come into the final consummation and completion of all things. That's going to be a given if we follow this pattern. The transition here on earth is to get us out of ourselves, to get us out of a selfish lifestyle, to get us out of where we have been, to get us out even of what church people do. We just begin to go through the motions. We go through it every week. We know what we're going to do. We know how we're going to work. We know how we're going to do everything. So let's just follow that. No, here he says, keep going through. Keep on the journey. Yes, your journey hits a bump every now and then. Yes, your journey hits a hard place every now and then. But you got to keep moving. You got to keep walking with him. You got to keep coming. You got to let your trial of your faith be tested so that it will become genuine, so that you will not become complacent, so that we will not become full of ourselves. We will not become selfish to the place that, oh, I just want it for my four and no more. I just want it for me. If I can just make it. How many want it for everyone? Paul said it like this. He said, I want everyone to see what is the administration of the mystery of God. I want everybody to come into that place that they know they're an integral part. They'll know that each one, every one of you today, has that spirit of wisdom and revelation on you today that we can keep flowing so that when we come to the end, our full salvation, our completion of our faith, well, what does that mean? That means then my final part, that last line about coming into transformation, transition, transformation. Our souls, not our spirit. Our spirit's already saved, right? Our spirit, man. But our souls have finally, through all that process, Robert, through everything we've been through, the soul comes to a place. Our mind, will, and emotions becomes complete. We have fullness of God's gift and grace working in us. Kind of like Romans 12, 1 and 2. Remember that one? I present you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Present your bodies what? You present your bodies for a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is just your reasonable, or I love the other translation, is just your spiritual act of worship. It's just part of your worship. But verse 2 says, though, and I'm really trying to close, I'm going to close on this, and do not be conformed to this world, but be what? But be transformed by the renewing of your what? Your soulless realm. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That means that no more accepting what we used to call the permissive will of God. Well, I guess God just allowing me. No, I want to come into the place that I know the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm walking in the place now that I'm not doubting. I know now my faith has been tested. My emotions have been tested. I'm not just running on a shout now. I'm not just running on something I heard 15 years ago. My lifestyle, my worship is current with God. It's in now a place where I'm no longer a baby. I'm no longer a child. I'm no longer a teenager. I want to be a full-grown son of the Most High God. I don't want to have to depend on somebody else to bring me into the presence. I don't want to depend on somebody else to make a way for me. I am ready. I am stepping into. I am coming through the veil. I am before the living God. Somebody stand to your feet and just give him a shout. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, you ought to have something in you that's magnifying the Lord, that's praising him, that's saying, God, thank you that I didn't give up when I went through that car wreck. Thank you that I didn't give up in the loss of that child. Thank you that I didn't give up in financial ruin, but I stood strong. I'm standing in the faith. I'm standing with a renewed mind, and I'm going to see the full salvation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Give him a shout. Give him a shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. I'm beginning to feel a little Pentecostal, I think. Hallelujah. Wake up the dead. Don't worry. The Baptists have already gone to lunch. Don't worry about it. We are. I'm in trouble. So you should have took it right there. Hallelujah. Now, praise God. Now, corporately, I'm glad I got this one last, this third close here. Corporately, Journey Church now. And all of us, you know, hey, why don't we drop these titles and barriers between the body of Christ? We're at the journey today, but the journey is just a part of the body of Christ. The journey is a part of the ecclesia is the full recognition of the corporate expression of God. And so each ministry, each church, each house, each place is just simply a part of that, right? So that means everybody, all of us fit in here today. And so as you find and keep that joy in the journey, then there is coming that full manifestation of transition to transformation. Here's what I want you to say. Say this, if you will. Father, thank you for the transition that I've been in. But I thank you, Father, that that transition, that old transition, has come to an end. It is no longer expressible in my life. It is no longer a part of my life because I became a part of it. It became a part of me. And now I come into a transformation because now I can have joy on the journey, joy in the journey. Joy for the journey. And I will not accept anything less. Because this is not only a new year. This is a new day. This is a new administration. This is a new era. This is a new grace. This is a new glory. And God is bringing us into his fullness. In Jesus Christ's name. Thank you, Lord. Now, thank you, Father. Wow. Everybody should have a word right now. Everybody should be able to prophesy right now, you know. But just quickly, briefly now, I know my guests. I know the ones that are apostolic and prophetic. I'm not talking about preaching a message now. I'm not talking about getting up and praying for everybody. But is this all right if I close with this little part? You have a quickening of anything that you, because you haven't been here before, and you don't know what's going on here, if you have a quickening of something that you've heard through this thing today that you want to just quickly give and speak into that, I want you to come real quick. Now, we've got to do it timely because we got to. All right. Apostle Connie.
For the Lord would say unto you on today that you have entered into your Kairos moment. This is the Kairos moment. This is the appointed time, says the Lord, and expect to see change in every aspect of your life. And I even hear the Lord saying that there is a changing of the guard. The Lord says, I put one up and I pull another one down. And the Lord said that I am thrusting you to the forefront. The Lord said that my hand is upon you and I am thrusting you to the forefront. Even in this region, even as the worship went forth on today, day, the territorial spirits came down because the worship penetrated this region, and the kingdom of the Lord, the kingdom of God is advancing in this region. Hallelujah. Says the Lord.
How many bear witness to that one? Amen. Is that right on? Come on, Robert.
Before you were even speaking, the Lord began to say this, and I was about to say, and the Lord corrected me. He said, "You are about this. The church is about to enter." And he said, "No, He said, "My church is now entering in to the journey of joy."
Come on.
He says, "There will be no more sickness. Healing is coming, and there will be great joy. There will be restoration." He said, "All that you've gone through, and you are now entering in to the joy of the Lord."
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. How many ready to enter into that? Enter into that place. Enter into that dimension that you go into it. Amen. Amen.
Hustle Jim and all of the Journey Church. I just want to say what the Lord has been saying to me concerning this new time, this new season that we're entering in. And thank you for saying the word that we have come, that the sons of God are, my children are for signs and wonders. Yes. Thank you, Father. God, we bless you and we give you praise. But the Lord has been saying to me that this time, this season that we're in, beginning January 2019, that we've entered into a time where God is drawing a line of demarcation. I didn't know what that word meant, so I had to look it up. But it's a boundary. Yeah. And so we've come to that place where we are no longer transitioning, but we are actually, yes, entering into that time where God is drawing a line of demarcation. So we are in a place of where we are no longer transitioning from church to kingdom, but we are now stepped into and have entered in to the kingdom. So it's a time where nobody will wonder, doubt, question anymore who they are in the body of Christ, your gifts, your callings. You will know of a surety who you are, and we will walk as sons of God in the earth from this day forward. No more transitioning. But we're gonna walk as the sons of God in the earth. Amen.
Karen, I was waiting for you. There you were right there.
Amen. I'm excited. I was hearing the Lord say that there would be no more separation. There's a unity that's coming to the body of Christ in this season. There's no more, separation of race and creed and division. He's bringing us together in this hour because the sons of God are multiplicity. Yes. Amen. Yes. And that we're coming together to bring forth the word of the Lord in this hour that God wants to do. It's a new time. Yes. It's a new era, a new season. Amen. And we're getting ready to operate in the dimension that God desires that his sons and daughters to walk in. That's why we're seeing so much confusion, because the sons of God have not risen up the way they should. And God is getting ready to do something in this region. And I'm seeing God use you mightily, and this place will be a hub in the name of Jesus. I'm just hearing that man of God, I forget his name, but God is getting ready to use this place. I don't know who all is a part of this place, but God is getting ready to do something so awesome. And your humility, man of God, is God is so he's pleased with the humility, your desire to grasp, your desire to learn. Amen. And so I just thank God, and I don't want to hold it too long, but I'm just hearing God say, no more division.
All right.
Not in the remnant, not in the remnant, no more division.
We've been in a time of separation of wheat and tares. We've been in a time where God has separated and called things out of the body that would offend him, or things that were not for what he was taking into the remnant. How many are getting that confirmation? One more. Because, boy, the women are outdoing us.
I also, come on.
And I was trying to leave it alone, but Brother Les, this is what I'm hearing for Journey Church, and there is going to be a great change. A great change, but not only just a great change, but you're going to begin to take what the enemy has taken. You're going to take it back, and you're going to claim it for the glory of the Lord. You're going to be a great change agent in Tomball.
Yes.
People will know you for being a change agent in Tomball. They will know your people for being signs and wonders in the city of Tumbaugh and the surrounding counties.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Al. God bless you. How many receive that in the house today? Journey, you receive it? All right, come on, Pastor.
All right, God bless you all. Thank you.
All right.
That's it.